You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello everyone and a warm welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. You join us on Friday's edition of the podcast where we're looking ahead to day four from Royal Ascot. Promises to be a superb day of racing. Alex Stern, Andrew Mount and Tom Morley are your team in the studio guiding you through all of the cards on Friday, including the fourth day of Royal Ascot as mentioned. My name is Sam Norris and joining me on today's podcast to recap Thursday's action and look ahead to the first four at Royal Ascot on Friday is one Mr. Ross Briley. How are you, Ross?
I'm very well, Mr. Sam Norris. I'm very well indeed.
Good.
A bit chilly in here, though, isn't it?
It's a little bit, yeah, but it's been incredibly warm over the last few days.
It
very,
has.
Very warm.
It has. Have you been outside at all? You don't look like a man who goes outside very much.
No. I've been largely in this studio.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, that's where I've been spending my last few days.
Nice place to be.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you managed to catch any of the sun?
Not as much as I would have liked, no. No, that's it'd be nice if Royal Ascot had been on. If it had just been raining here, but not at Ascot. I want fast ground at Ascot, rain here, so that you don't feel bad about not being outside.
Okay, yeah.
But you know, that's asking a bit much, isn't it?
It is a little bit, and it is good that we've had genuinely quick ground for those horses that need genuinely quick ground, Ross.
Definitely, yeah, and you know the form is about as solid as it's going to come, I think.
Yeah, well, we saw track records tumbling earlier on in the week as well, which is probably the best indication there is to suggest just how fast the ground is.
Yeah, albeit I reckon the clerk of the course would have been slightly concerned about that because maybe it suggests that the ground was a little bit too quick.
Given
they were going in, you know, you could have run a cellar over it. So then they'd have been Group 1 time, wouldn't they, on Tuesday?
Yes.
So there's a slight concern about that.
And there seems to be a real reluctance to produce firm ground. Everybody seems to want it to be good to firm.
Yeah, well, you want the horses to be comfortable.
Yes. Yes, of course.
At the very least, so yeah, but no, it's been a good week so far, and I think yeah, there's not many races where you've looked at it and thought, I'm not sure this form's going to stand up. So yeah, I think it's been a good week, and we're barely halfway through.
Definitely. So, any highlights for yourself so far before we recap on Thursday's action in a little bit more depth?
Barney Roy,
yes,
in the St James's Palace. I think again, I can't wait to see him. Carry on throughout the season because I think he'll really get 10 furlongs as well, the way he stretches out over a mile.
Rematch with Churchill in the Sussex Stakes?
Yeah, hopefully, yeah. Or, I don't know, maybe the Eclipse or the International, I think, step it up to 10 furlongs. I think he does need a bit, I think he'll certainly improve for a 10 furlong trip, the way he runs. He's very, very strong at the finish and he's bred to get a little bit further. And I very much like the way Heartache went about it for Clive Cox as well.
Yeah, definitely.
She's a pure speedster, so they would be probably my two highlights of the week.
Good stuff. We'll have a look back on some of Thursday's action. I'm recording this just about 20 minutes after the Gold Cup. We'll go right back to the start of Thursday, though, where the Norfolk was the first race of the day, and something of a surprise with Sioux Nation coming home in front ahead of Santry, who was well-found in the market, and Card Sharp, who was backed pretty consistently throughout the course of the morning. But Sioux Nation, a shock in some ways, Ross, given that the horse had had four runs, only won on one occasion, and perhaps looked a little bit more exposed compared to some of its rivals. But you can't write off these connections ever.
No, definitely not. And to be fair to Sioux Nation, had been running against very good horses over slightly further. So a very strongly run five furlongs has clearly improved him a little bit. I mean, he ran into Brother Bear twice, who could have won the Coventry the other day had he kept a straight line. So certainly no disgrace in that. In his other runs, he ran well on debut over five furlongs and then bolted up in a Cork. The Cork made him recording a very good RPR. So I suppose, it is a surprise on the one hand. But as you said, given the breeding, given the connections, and given the fact that they've just been trying him in hot races over further, it's not that much of a shock, especially as I mean, it was 13-2 joint favourites.
Yes.
With 17 runners in the field. So it wasn't as if the market had decided on anything, really.
Yeah, sure.
So I think the 14-1 SP maybe looks like it was a bit of a surprise, but it's not like there was a 6-4 favourite.
Yeah, correct. And Santry's probably lost nothing in defeat either, finishing second. Still thought that was a positive run.
Yeah, I think he's run an absolute cracker. I didn't particularly fancy him, as he'd run to a very similar level on soft ground on his first two starts. But he was very positive in the market. Clearly, there'd been a lot of money for him. And he went about as close as those connections are ever going to get to a winner of this nature, I think. And the best thing about the Norfolk, though, is hopefully it'll convince... We haven't seen the Britannia yet, so this might turn out to be a stupid thing to say. But it will hopefully convince connections that as long as enough of them split...
Right on the far side, yeah.
Then just stick to your draw, yeah. Don't come all the way over to this near side. So hopefully that will hold up for the rest of Thursday, Friday and Saturday.
Yeah, hopefully so, because it is, as you say, gutting when you see your horse come right across the track and expend energy trying to move to what they believe to be the favoured portion of the track, and then the winner comes from the other side anyway.
I mean, yeah, in your head, you kind of, if you get beaten by a horse on the other side, you feel like a bit unlucky, but you've run separate races, but you've both had equally good chances, and nobody's been inconvenienced. And they went a good gallop on both sides. So hopefully that will continue throughout the next couple of days.
Indeed. The Hampton Court Stakes then was the second race on the card on Thursday. And this looked as though it was going to be a cracking three-way battle between Ben Battle, Order of the Garter and Mirage Dancer. Those are the first three home Ross, with Ben Battle getting the better of the other two. And he's been running in some very hot races in the past and has been running credibly. And the Derby form's taken a boost as well, with Ben Battle coming out on top there.
Yeah, definitely. It was a cracking race. I think the first thing to say was that Ben Battle was the one horse in the race who had everything run to suit.
Yes.
But bearing in mind, he only made his debut in April, though, so he's got to be given a bit of a boost for his relative inexperience. But he was in the perfect position at the perfect time, and he kicked on at just the right point. Whereas Order of the Garter had to come from the clouds and almost had to pick up twice to try and get to Ben Battle. And Mirage Dancer was stuck down the inside and just for a couple of strides had to kind of take the foot off the gas a little bit. And when you're trying to wind up down that Ascot home straight, that's not necessarily a positive. But the form looks very strong. The first four were a long way clear. The French Derby form, the English Derby form. And, of course, Mirage Dancer, who is the unknown quantity in the race. So it looks absolutely rock solid. And I think it was probably one of the best renewals of the Hampton Court for quite a while.
Yeah, it was a cracker. Just while we're on Mirage Dancer, do staying trips beckon for that one? Do you think it's got to go up in trip now?
Possibly, but I think it was more just the way the race unfolded, really. Looks like a mile and a half will suit, I would say. But I don't think it's got a problem with the trip. I just think it was just never in a position to really hit top gear at the right point.
On to the third race then on Thursday. This was the Ribblesdale going the way of Coronet, who just got the better of Maury in a driving finish from Hartford Dancer, who was back in third. And Hartford Dancer, when they raced inside the final furlong or so, was in front. And then Maury looked as though she was going to get there, and Coronet down the outside and mugged the pair of them. What did you make of the Ribblesdale this year?
I thought Pellier was quite lucky in the end, because the gap closed on him. He tried to switch to the inside and alluringly came across and shut the door. And because of that, he ended up switching to the outside and coming through with a withering run. But if he hadn't have done that, I think Maury would have out-battled him on the outside. It was a mad race. I mean, so the Sky's Blazing went off an insane gallop.
Yes.
Hartford Dancer kicked on, looked the likely winner, but unfortunately, Jim Crowley had no other choice than to kick on when he did, but ended up going a little bit too soon. Thought Maury was going to win it, but yeah, Coronet just came through. And she's obviously been well touted. She's running two Group 1s. Since her couple of wins last season. She's beautifully bred. She's with the top yard, who do very well in the Ribblesdale as well. She only got going at the very last minute. So more to come from her for sure. And I imagine they'll definitely try and get that Group 1 glory in the book.
Indeed. Then on to the feature race on Thursday then, which was the Ascot Gold Cup, a thrilling renewal of the Gold Cup, a strong renewal where Big Orange clung on from the fast-finishing Order of St. George with Harbour Lord, the St. Ledger winner, back in third. And Big Orange, I wouldn't say had the race to suit Ross, but was able to make most, which is everything this horse wants.
It is, but it's not everything that you want at Ascot, really, on the round track. I think that's the thing you've got to upgrade Big Orange for, is that he's done something that is difficult to pull off at this track. And also, he just keeps doing it. He does, no matter where you send him, he does it.
Yes.
So that's a big plus for him. James Doyle obviously standing in for Frankie Dettori as well, and beating a thorough stayer who won the race last year. So he's run an absolute blinder. As is the third as well, Harbour Law, who ran no race whatsoever on his return.
Yeah.
But obviously he looked a bit of a fluky winner of the St. Ledger last year, and people probably crabbed connections in the horse and probably thought, I'm not entirely sure whether he's going to train on as a four-year-old and carry on into this grade, but he travelled like the best horse in the race. If this had been over half a mile shorter,
yes,
he'd have had a bit of a squeak. So it'd be interesting to see what they do with him and what they target. But no, a really good renewal and a fantastic finish. And the way he stuck out his neck, Big Orange, to win yet another race means that he's got to go down as one of the best stayers of the past decade, really.
Yeah, really, really impressive performance then from Big Orange, who fended off the favourite order of St George to win the Gold Cup. Let's move on to some of Friday's action then. We'll look at the first four races on the card on Friday from Royal Ascot, starting with the Albany Stakes at 2:30, racing over six furlongs here. Two-year-old fillies in action for this Group 3 prize, and Alpha Centauri is the 5-2 market leader. Fairyland 7-2, 8-1 for Clemmy. Natural is 11-1, 12s for Black Sails, 14-1 Princess Peggy, and Take Me With You 16's Bar. What do you think of these lightly raced two-year-old fillies, Russ?
I don't like this race at all, first off.
Yeah, I found it a little bit...
I mean, it's always been a tough race to work out,
yeah,
because you get such a bizarre mix of animals coming in here. I mean, obviously, you've got a couple of Wesley Ward horses to...
further muddy the waters.
Yeah, and then Donnacher O'Brien on Fairyland as well. Be interesting. Obviously, he's going to get a fairly new experience in that horse's style. Alpha Centauri looks a really nice horse. She's done absolutely nothing wrong in two victories so far, beating Actress on both those starts at Nace. And she's put in very good figures and very impressive performances. Slight concern for her is, I know we were saying about the draw, but being drawn out in box one right on the wing is a slight concern, I think. She's not necessarily... because if she might not get... things run to suit, and she's going to be out of the pack, as it were. But, I mean, you go through the rest of them. Clemmy's got to improve, obviously, given her pedigree, and given that Churchill executed exactly the same thing last year in the Chesham, finishing third on debut and then winding up at Royal Ascot. Natural and Black Sails both won half-decent races first time out and have to be respected. Take Me With You is interesting. Jeremy Nasida has a good record with maidens at Royal Ascot, and she has a strikingly similar profile to some of his past winners here. And she caught the eye a little bit in a race that turned into a sprint at Newmarket on debut. I'd probably take a chance with two at much bigger prices, though, and just hope you can at least get one in the frame. One of those is Urtyard, and the other is Actress. They're drawn 15 and 16, which... we're not going to have any problems with those draws whatsoever. Urtyard went very close to winning on debut behind Mrs. Gallagher in what looked a very good race. Mrs. Gallagher ran a really good race from a poor draw the other day, and Out of the Flames managed to sneak into the frame behind Heartache the other day. Didn't have to go. Didn't have to improve at all on its debut to win last time out over at Haydock. But I get the feeling there's a little bit more to come from her. And the other one is Actress, who does look massively priced if you take Alpha Centauri into it. Yes, she's been beaten twice by that horse, but I mean, Felton Tory's a 5-2 shot.
Yeah.
Actress is a 33-1 shot here, and she's won her other start as well. So even if she runs at exactly the same level, she could finish third or fourth. So I'd take a chance with Urtyard and Actress each way.
Two prizes then for Ross in the opening race on Friday: Urtyard and Actress at 16-1 and 33-1. Respectively. On to the 305 then, which is the King Edward the VII Stakes, racing over a mile and three. This is a Group 2 at time recording, 13 horses down to contest this one. And Crystal Ocean is the 3-1 market leader, 6-1 for Sir John Lavery. Saluine is 7-1, 15-2 for Permian. Best of Days 9-1 with Best Solution, 12-1 and bigger prices for the rest. Another chance to see the Epsom Derby form displayed here with the likes of Crystal Ocean and Permian in the race, Ross.
Yeah, very much so. Crystal Ocean didn't run in the Derby in the end.
Sorry, they Dante form.
Yeah.
Is what I was thinking of there.
Permian obviously won the Dante, went on to run a pretty poor race in the Derby, yeah. And it might be a little bit too much for him, I feel, this. Crystal Ocean's clearly swerved the Derby with this in mind, and he will relish the conditions, I think. So John Lavery's been well-backed over the past few days as well. He bombed out in the Lingfield Derby trial, but he was very, very impressive last season, and his maiden form looks good. Best Solution probably has a bit more to offer as well, but again, I'm slightly dubious about whether he just wasn't in the right place at the right time at Lingfield. Salowen's got some good form and was well beaten in the Derby as well, but I thought it's half worth chancing Best of Days here, I thought. Completely swerved the form entirely with Hugo Palmer's Charge, who looked a very impressive type when winning on debut. Just got the better of the Anvil, which isn't exactly rock-solid form in the Royal Lodge, but you just get the feeling there's a little bit more to come from him. Best of Days, drawn out in 8. Could get involved for Hugo Palmer and James Doyle.
Best of Days then at 9-1, the selection in the King Edward VII. On to the 3:40 then, which is the Commonwealth Cup, racing over at 6 furlongs for this one. And the betting headed by Caravaggio at 10-11. It's 7-2 for Harry Angel. Blue Point is 5-1. 8-1 for Bound for Nowhere. 40s bar. But this looks like one of the races of the week for me, Ross, with Caravaggio, Harry Angel and Blue Point. Cases could be made for all three of them. And indeed, ones at bigger prices. This looks a cracking renewal of the newest race of Royal Ascot.
It's an absolute peach, isn't it? Mm. I love this race. Absolutely love this race. And
a fine addition to the programme.
It's the best thing they've come up with for God knows how long.
Yeah.
And three fantastic horses as well lining up. Because, I mean, this is an absolute cracker of a contest. Caravaggio is unbeaten so far, won the Coventry, of course, last season. Returned with a win at Nason, bolted up by 4.5 lengths from a decent type in the shape of Psychedelic Funk, who finished third last year in the Coventry as well. Blue Point was, again, a horse who there was a lot of talk about him being a potential Guinness horse. Yep. They tried him in the US behind Churchill, but he didn't quite get home. And a good move to drop him back to sprinting, and he won very nicely first time out. But he beat Harry Angel on debut. Now, Harry Angel needed his debut last season when he started a novice race here at Ascot. And he needed it again here back at this track. But he's a very fresh goer. He's a very keen horse. But my God, the engine is insane on this horse. I mean, he's my best bet of the week.
Yeah.
I'd be shocked to the core if he's out of the three, because he's just got so much ability. And to be able to go through the gears whilst thrashing your head around, I mean, if he's using up as much energy he looks like, then how much has he got in reserve?
Sure.
This track will definitely suit. He's been here twice. Yes, he's been beaten twice, but there's absolutely no problem with the course. The ground should suit as well. He's drawn slap bang in the middle. Yeah, he's going to be a maximum bet on Friday.
Okay, a strong word then for Harry Angel from Ross in what looks a cracking renewal of the Commonwealth Cup. Currently a 7-2 chance behind Caravaggio, who's just a shade of odds on. On to the 4:20 then, which is the Coronation Stakes over 7 furlongs. For the fillies, this is a Group 1. It's only attracted 7 runners for this year's renewal, and largely due to the fact that Winter has possibly scared all the opposition off. She is 1-2 in the betting, with Dabia at 11-2, 8-1 bar that pair. She's a dual Guineas heroine, Ross, and looked even better last time out at the Curragh than she did at Newmarket previously, and she was impressive then.
Yeah, no disgrace getting beaten by Winter this season, that's for sure. She's improved massively. Obviously, there was a potential talk that she was a little bit lucky to beat Rhododendron at Newmarket in the right place at the right time, but the money came for her, and she clearly improved since switching from David Watchman. And as you said, I think she was vastly more impressive at the Curragh. I really liked the way about when she went about that, and the time was fantastic, really. Mm. So she's going to be incredibly hard to beat. It's hard to really find an angle in to beating her. The track will be fine.
Yeah.
The ground will be fine. She's running mainly against horses she's faced before. I suppose I say that, but her two main rivals are actually bringing a bit of extra form to the table. Dabia, we haven't seen any Guineas this season after meeting a bit of a setback after the Fred Darling. That would be a slight concern, I suppose, that the others have kept their seasons rolling, but she was very impressive on that. And again, she was another one who recorded a very strong time. Nothing's actually come out in Frank before, which would slightly concern me. But again, I've been pretty keen on the French form as well this season. in group races, and I think Precieuse is going to be very hard to kick out of the frame. Senga, who was beaten out of sight, came out and won a Group 1 next time out. That form looks rock solid. I think Winters... I don't really want to take her on.
Yeah.
But I think Precieuse is going to give her a real run for her money here.
Okay. Winter then looks a solid favourite in the Coronation Stakes, but keep an eye on the French Raider, possibly for each way purposes, or maybe if you're playing a forecast. Thank you very much for that, Ross. Just spin through your selections one more time for us, if you would.
Yeah, well, I've Ertiard and Actress at big prices for the Albany. Best of days in the King Edward the VII. Harry Angel, best bet of the week in the Commonwealth Cup. And Precieuse in the Coronation.
Thank you very much. There we are, the thoughts of Ross Briley on the first four races at Ascot. We're going to hear now from James Millman and Sean Quinn, who were in conversation with Alex Dunn a little bit earlier on in the week. And both their fathers have got runners in the final race on Friday, the Duke of Edinburgh Stakes. And we can get the inside track now on both Master Carpenter and Misty Rock.
You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app, and in any of our shops around the UK.
Well, we're looking for more and more content and more horses to talk about, and I thought, hang on, James Millman's got a horse running at Royal Ascot. Well, not you per se, but your father does.
Yeah, we've only got a one runner this year actually, which is a little bit disappointing, but we've got a decent one, Master Carpenter, who hit form again, winning at York's Dante meeting. Unfortunately, while he won a little bit too easily, and the handicapper decided to put him up £10, which was a little bit frustrating. So he's gone from 95 to 105, but he's still at a level where Grit races are perhaps a little bit too good for him. Handicaps, he may be a little bit high, but nowadays you need to be in the hundreds to get in these top races. And he goes for the Duke of Edinburgh. Mm. And trip-wise, we are actually stepping him back up to a mile and a half on the Friday. That's his most likely target with the weather, because it's going to be a dry week, a warm week, and the ground gets very quick at Ascot, so despite the fact that all his form's at a mile and a quarter, it's pretty soft ground when he won at the Dante meeting, so we just thought, with the ground as quick as it is, we might just step him up to a mile and a half and see if that's an option which just ekes out a little bit of improvement. He's tried it once, and that was in the Group 1 Coronation Cup, so it was a pretty good race to try it against Postponed and Co. He beat two horses in the race, finished 6th of 8, so you can't say he didn't stay, because against that opposition, he realistically, he was only ever going to finish 6th. So
yeah.
I think he is a chance he could stay. Sons of Master Craftsman do stay that kind of trip. And hopefully he'll go well. So I think like 16-1 here at William Hill. Obviously, we don't know the final decks yet because it is on Friday.
Yeah, we're recording this on Monday afternoon.
Yeah, so it's a fair way ahead. And just in case any thunderstorms did hit, he might divert to the mile and a quarter Wolferton. But at the moment, the aim is the mile and a half handicap. And like I say, I wouldn't put you off at a price, because nowadays horses in these kind of contests are exposed. There's not that many that are going to have £10 in hand, say. So despite the fact he's a little bit high in the handicap, a mark of 105 is still lower than what he was. He was 1-1-10 a year ago. So Master Carpenter, 6-1. Hopefully he runs well for the old man, and a few listeners might back him each way.
Okay, great stuff, James. Thanks for staying with me.
That's not a problem, Alex Dunn.
From one trainer's son to another, Sean Quinn joins us on the line. Mr. Quinn, how are you?
I'm very well, Alex. How are you doing, sir?
Yeah, not too bad. I believe you're currently on the way down to Ascot.
I am. I'm en route to Ascot as we record this. The sun is splitting the rocks, but I'm getting a good run down to London, which makes a change.
Good. Good to hear. Now, you've got a bit of history with Royal Ascot. Two Royal winners in the past with Pevensey and the Wow Signal. Admittedly, though, it does look a little bit more difficult this year for you to add to that collection.
Yeah, I suppose that's fair, Alex. The Wow Signal was nearly favourite when he won the Coventry, and Pevensey when he won the Duke of Edinburgh was a 7 or 8 to 1 shot. So both were well fancied in the betting, as you say. It's two that are likely to be running down here, or three if Speed Company gets in late in the week, will all be bigger prices.
We're going to focus on the two that are, in inverted commas, set to run, if you like.
Yes.
One is in the same race that I've just been talking to James Millman about. They run Master Carpenter, and you are there with Misty Rock, aren't you?
That's right, yeah. Misty Rock, horse who's run well, consistently well this season, and crucially, he's a course and distance winner at Ascot. He absolutely bombed in the Shergar Cup middle distance race last year, so we know he likes the track, and we thought a little while ago, this will be a decent race to try and target with him.
And certainly is a pretty stout stayer as well. He's one of those horses that, at a bigger price, because he is, as we record this, 25-1, but could certainly have a squeak at a massive price, couldn't he?
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised to see him run well. Often you need to win this race, I feel, you probably need a horse with something up his sleeve, a little bit in hand from the handicap. But now, I think it's fair to say Misty Rock doesn't have much in hand from the handicap, but what you see is what you get. He tends to run his race, and as we said, runs consistently well. You know, he ran very well at Chester last time out, went third behind a handicap blot in Kairath, and the time before at Newcastle, ran a good horse in Wild Hacked to half a length. But he's rated 99, and you know, he's a genuine 99 horse. I can't ever see him to 109, but you know, if he turns up in good form, which he appears to be at home, I wouldn't be surprised to see him run a big race.
Okay. The other runner that we're going to focus on is Bustam in the Chesham. This is, of course, on Saturday, the first race on Saturday. Mm. And Bustam, of course, with Al Shakab Racing, who you do have that little bit of history with the Wow Signal. The horse was a really short price last time, was perhaps a little disappointing, but at the same time has all of the potential in the world, if you like. And although it is a good race, again, you'd have to give a chance to Bustam.
Yeah, I would nearly draw a line through his last run, Alex. I think it's fairer to judge this horse on his first run at Ayr, which was one that was very, very promising. You know, he was second only beaten a head or a neck up at Ayr after not much going right in the race, and he displayed signs of greenness, and we were delighted with that. And next time it just didn't go right. To make his own running, he was a little bit keen, and with the benefit of hindsight, it might have just come a bit soon after his first one. It was only 10 days, and certainly the form book would suggest that he didn't build on his air run, which we definitely expected him to do. He's a horse who has a good deal of ability and has plenty of big days in front of him.
Am I right in thinking that the air race that he ran in on debut was the same one that the Wow Signal did win?
Yeah, exactly. They say trainers are creatures of habit. Well, Dad won that with the Wow Signal, and then he won it the following year with Oscar International, and he tried to repeat the dose with Bustam. And to be fair, he didn't do anything wrong, and it's a strong race every year historically, that air race, and this year is no different, Alex. There are winners coming out of it left, right and centre. It's working out really, really well, that race. I believe the winner of it, Chucky Dunedin, is set to run in the Coventry on the first day of the meeting. So, you know, despite the fact that that race was run north of the border, I think it was stronger than you might initially think.
Mm. OK, then. Well, best of luck with both runners, Mr Quinn, and we'll catch up with you soon. All the best.
Thanks very much, Alex.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.